And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and with me is Phil Conlon.
Yes, good afternoon, Phil.
Cold day in Toronto. We're going to be talking today to Gustav Bonyamutwa. He's the editor of Jambo, ASBL.com, and they're involved in a class action, very important one. I call it a class action. We'll get the words from him in about political freedom in Europe for Rwandans. And later in the show, about 5:30, we are going to be speaking to Eva K. Bartlett, who is a independent journalist and rights activist, and she does terrific work. You can find her writings at ingaza.wordpress.com. And, of course, she's at Eva K. Bartlett. I stress the K because it turns out there are other Evas. I thought there was only the one. It, certainly, as far as the Taylor Report concerned, there is only one. As I say, we will be speaking soon, we hope, with Gustav Bonyamutwa. But I want to say right off the bat that we applaud the success of the Venezuelan government in protecting their sovereignty. They ought to be taking their neighboring states in the United States to the Security Council for an attempt to violently cross their border without authorization. And the people who say that this is humanitarian aid are liars, because if you want to bring humanitarian aid, you do it respectfully and you do it through a neutral party such as the Red Cross. The Red Cross did not endorse this little show event at the border of Colombia and Venezuela. And you also, if you would, you could go to the United Nations. We have to tell the parties, the Liberal Party, the Conservative Party, the NDP, to learn about international law, the sovereignty of Venezuela, and the improper meddling in the internal affairs of Venezuela. We agree with the wonderful Roger Waters, who's, by the way, if you want to get a good commentary, turn to Roger Waters. He's right on top of this. He's called out Branson, the billionaire, who also showed up. It was an immense failure, but some people say that they expected to cross. They did not. They wanted to put on a show. That wasn't aid. That was a John Bolton battering ram. It was an attempt to cause a problem. And so we're very strongly associating ourselves with the cause of actually all peoples, particularly supporters of international law, which is being violated by Canada, by the United States particularly. This little phony group called LIMA, they say, oh, we are independent, you know, we are the LIMA group, and the United States is not a member, they say. Well, today, LIMA met with Pence, the vice president of the United States, and he, of course, treated them as an audience, which is what they are. And I'm sure they all sat up like pups and wagged their tails. And then he told them what we're going to do. So, and then he brought along this guy, Guaido, who is a fraud. He's not been elected to president. There is an elected president. You may not like it, but he is the elected president of Venezuela. And if you people who want to help Venezuela, that's really possible to do. The problem is if you try to treat them as not sovereign, as to treat their borders as though you think it's something you can cross. If you do that, you're a colonialist. It's as old as the story of Simón Bolívar. Look it up. They went to a lot of trouble to become an independent country. So, at any rate, we're going to have some more to say about that. I think we'll play just a taste of music because we might have a number wrong here. So we're going to see if we can correct that. And maybe we don't have the music. Phil, you have an announcement about Mumia.
Yes. Well, Mumia Jamal has been allowed an appeal, and that is because a judge. And I'll just read from you from Dave Lindorf's article today in Counterpunch.
Counterpunch, and is Lindorf? Right.
Dave Lindorf, L-I-N-D-O-R-F-F. Abu Jamal's legal team is appealing his conviction and his death sentence, and it was Philadelphia District Attorney's Office that was responsible for fighting that appeal. That's all like 30 years ago. The district attorney at that point was Ronald Castile, a Republican prosecutor who ran for election on a tough law and order platform of supporting the death penalty and who for 4 years oversaw the high-profile legal battle by his office appellate team. The legal issue now is that after leaving the district attorney's office after one term, Castile was appointed to a seat on the bench of Pennsylvania's highest court, eventually rising to the position of Chief Justice before retiring in 2014. Castile was a Supreme Court justice when Abu Jamal's appeal of his Post-Conviction Relief Act hearing, which was presided over and had its findings rejected by the same Judge Szabo, as well as several other hearings also rejected, reached the High Court for review. The bottom line is the district attorney who fought to put Abu Jamal in jail and keep him there then became the appeal judge who got to rule on it. And nobody was allowed to say that was a conflict until this judge, Judge Leon Tucker, came along and said, no, there's an appearance of a conflict there. This man needs to have a right to initiate his appeals from day one. And that could go ahead tomorrow, except the problem is that the district attorney of Philadelphia has decided to try to obstruct that. And Dave Lindorf, in his article in Counterpunch, is asking you to join the close to 7,000 people who have petitioned District Attorney Krasner of Philadelphia, who's supposed to be a progressive, nice guy who supports justice and used to be a defense lawyer. They petitioned him to get out of the way and allow the appeal to be heard. And so that's where it stands. You can go to freemumia.com. That's a nice new website. So it's really interesting. And learn more about Mumia Abu Jamal, right? And go to Counterpunch and read this article, Petition Delivered to Philly DA Calling for Fair Appeal for Mumia.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks, Phil. We're going to take a quick break, and we will – come back with our next guest, and this is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM.
And I'll stand over your grave, and I'm sure that you did.
That's Bob Dylan. We're in a bad mood, and that's kind of the way we feel, actually, about this idiotic exercise being carried out with Canada's happy involvement at the border with Venezuela. You notice that today, as I mentioned, Vice President Pence is conducting the little band. And they did this thing with photos. You know, the Branson paid to have a little group of people stand on the Colombian side of the border and be entertained. Roger Waters, by the way, has got a great commentary on that. And they put the – the president of Chile was there together with, I call him El Duque from Colombia. And then they had Guaido, the phony president of Venezuela, they had him there. But, you know, it's all photo op, tricks, because 2 days before, it was Bolton, it was Pompeo, And everybody's favorite, Elliot Abrams, who is a criminal. He's a felon. His crimes were committed in Central America. And they were there, of course, because it was somebody kind of wrote a script. And you have the American military aircraft bringing what they call aid. And then because they call it aid, the Venezuelans are supposed to lie down like a doormat and allow them to drive it in. It's just absurd. But this exercise has gone forward. But something I think we should call to people's attention. There is a solution being offered by Mexico, Uruguay, and Bolivia. Three actually respected governments, democratic governments. Everybody loves that word, democracy. And particularly the Bolivian government is one of the happiest developments in leadership. This is an indigenous president, the first indigenous president in the history of Bolivia, a remarkable individual. he and the president of Mexico, who was just elected by a wonderful majority and clearly the most popular guy, someone who brings – and what are they known for, and the president of Uruguay? They're known for their popular programs, programs directed at education, at housing, at clean water, at employment. These are what they're known for. These three presidents have called for a mediation in the sense of – helping Venezuelans, by the way, if they want to help, not saying, I mean, Bolivia, by the way, has a very clear, even a clearer position than Mexico. They say they're in favor of that only if it's requested by the sovereign, legitimate government of Venezuela. Canada chose to organize, and they at least act like they organized the Lima Group, which is a faction designed to destroy the Organization of American States. I think they've pretty much done it. We're not even hearing from the Organization of American States. Why? Because the Organization of American States did not agree to replace in name the president of Venezuela. And they, and in particular, Mexico is our trading partner. We just signed a trade agreement. This is our business partner. We look forward to a big future together. And it's as though they don't exist. When the Globe and Mail, it's called a newspaper, and the Star also claims to be in the news business, talk about the crisis at the border and the issue of the President Maduro, they saw Russia, China, Mexico, Uruguay, Bolivia would help. There's a lot of other countries, by the way, that we could add to the list. So this, we're being victimized by media who claim that they false news is something, you know, they're all very alert about. Well, why are they engaging in it? It's, for Canadians, you would think the first thing to say is our major trading partner, the one that's nice to us, by the way, compared to Trump. Trump says, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. He also, he said the other day, one of his aides said that they were proud of Justin Trudeau for arresting the financial officer of Huawei. Proud of him. It's like being petted. Like you're waiting for something. This is how Trudeau Trump speaks about Trudeau. The president of Mexico is respectful of Canada. He understands this is a Northern American trade agreement. It's three partners. So the third partner is being treated now as if he doesn't exist. And this is a major question in what you might call his neighborhood. It's Spanish-speaking, Catholic culture, Spanish culture, etc., indigenous culture. This is his territory, Mr. Obrador. And you wouldn't know from the Globe Star, National Post, the CBC that he even exists. So to me, this is where we have to call it out. We have to call him out for violating the UN Charter, for ignoring the Red Cross. The Red Cross said, we're not involved in this. The Red Cross, listeners should know, the Red Cross said, objected to actors or people impersonating them at the border of Colombia and Venezuela. They were wearing little white jackets with red crosses. That's theater. And the theater involved trying to provoke, through a phony humanitarian intervention, trying to provoke violence. And hopefully, and from the point of view of Mr. Bolton, Mr. Elliot Abrams and others, a war where people will die by great numbers if it unfolds. So that's the Red Cross. Why doesn't the NDP and others in the parliament here, why don't they stand up and say, we're concerned that the Red Cross is not involved in this because they say it is not done in an appropriate way that is humanitarian and neutral. If somebody's wounded on the battlefield, the Red Cross position is as neutrals, not taking either side. They care for the wounded or they care for the civilians who've been damaged, whether by the refugees, by the people who don't have homes because the soldiers burned them down, etc. That's the Red Cross principle is the only way you can safely do that. But we're in this period where through the U.S. hegemony, they decided they wanted to take over everything. So so-called humanitarian all has to come under NATO. It has to be NATO humanitarian work. And now they've run into a problem because the Red Cross is not agreeing to play. They will not play this game. The United Nations, hello, liberals, hello, NDP, the United Nations is not playing the game. They say that the sovereign state of Venezuela is a member of the United Nations and Maduro is the president of Venezuela. And if Mr. El Duque or Bolsonaro of Brazil, both of whom have shady reputations, particularly Bolsonaro is the guy who says he doesn't care about climate change. He doesn't. He's going to go for the gold, as it were. He's threatening to basically cut down the Amazon forest because he says it's all, you know, it's better to make money and that's the way it's going to be. Canada is embracing him, absolutely embracing him. I wanted to go to one positive thing I'm seeing is that more than one, these countries, Mexico, Uruguay, spoken up, and Bolivia. But also, I noticed that in Chile, the Secretary General of the Organization of American States is calling on the President of Chile to get it out of the involvement there. And he says, you can't involve Chile in this. Chile, after all, experienced Pinochet with the help of Kissinger. So characters in their little outfits with the Red Cross painted on their sides and all that stuff and their spears and their knives and their... So they actually are running a little bit of a risk because the country of Colombia has a long revolutionary tradition of its own and it has had great struggles there waged by a powerful left, powerful progressive force in Colombia. I think Mr. Duque is playing with fire. And same with Brazil. The most popular politician in Brazil is not Mr. Bolsonaro. It is Mr. Lula. Mr. Bolsonaro has arranged for him to be in prison. All of our little ducks in line up here in North America, of course, agree to say that Lula was corrupt. That's baloney. Anybody can see that they just ran a little game and put the most popular man in Brazil in prison. So Bolsonaro has a little problem too. Actually, we're seeing or hearing reports that in all these countries, which all have had their little experience with Yankee imperialism, populations are not enthusiastic about attacking a Bolivarian government in Venezuela because they all recognize it's the old story that Washington, Monroe Doctrine, Platt Amendment, various other crimes, likes to use still the word. Trump uses it. I noticed Bill Maher, who considers himself a comedian. The only thing funny about him is he's a joke, but not funny. At any rate, they all say it's our backyard. And the Canadian position, I saw a couple of people on CBC talking about it, and they said, this is partly our thing now, you know. We're getting to be a bigger power, you know. We're playing a bigger role. And it was like listening to, you know, a bunch of jackals who are watching the lion while he's hunting because he will get the lion's share and they will chew on the bones. That's what's going to happen. Except I think the lion has lost a few teeth and probably not all that good a shape. And half of the lion's family is thinking about killing the lion, I notice. So... you know, actually, Canada would be wise to step back away from that radiated territory and say, you know, I don't want to get any of this on me. But, you know, but instead we have a headstrong so-called foreign minister who shows up for every meeting and says, I'm standing next to him. I'm standing next to them. This is me in the middle. And it's just a pack of people being run by Trump. This is the Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM. I really apologize. We haven't been able to reach Eva. Eva, if you're listening... we're really sorry because we admire your work very much. I'll just tell you that make sure that you know Eva speaks for herself better than I can, but I want you to know that you can go to ingaza.wordpress.com and you can find her on Twitter at Eva K. Bartlett. And she is an independent journalist and rights activist. If you haven't been checking recently, you should know that Eva has been back to Syria, and she produces the kind of pictures that we all need to see, which is life in Syria, particularly in those cities where terrorists used to be running to places where we got these ghastly pictures of people having their throats cut and people being burned alive, etc. These are the people supported by Canada and U.S. Yes, they did. Don't go lying to me. They did support them all the way. They've been defeated and driven out of Aleppo and Douma and various places. And Eva has been there, and it's just great to see pictures of Syrians leading ordinary lives in peace, going about their business. And so her work has really been very valuable. We were going to speak to her today about this case of Kirill Vyshinsky, who is a Russian-Ukrainian being held under charges in the Ukraine. Ukraine is going through a kind of twisted political moment where the chocolate king, Mr. Poroshenko, is up for re-election, and he declared martial law in some parts of Ukraine. I don't know if he's lifted that. I know that his numbers are somewhere below 10. It is hard to know where that country is going, but there's all kinds of ugliness raising its head, and Taylor Report has talked about it. There are organizations that celebrate people who collaborated with the Nazis during World War II. They like to say they were fighting Russia, but they probably haven't read a history book. They may not be aware Russia was our ally, and any soldier killed by the Nazis and their collaborators was one of us. That's something to have trouble comprehending. People who were glad we won that war and defeated Hitler haven't forgotten. And at any rate, this journalist, he served for, I know he worked there for 10 years as a journalist. And it's now out of the blue, they've charged him with high treason. I don't know if you've ever looked this up, Phil, whether it's a low treason. As far as I know, with people.
I've never yet seen the accusation of low treason.
It's got to be high.
It's a 10. There's got to be examples of it. I'd just love to know what they are.
Yes. So anyhow, this is something we will go into, and Eva K. Bartlett will lead us on that matter. I tell you, you should know, you can write to us at The Taylor Report at CIUT.FM. And we are on SoundCloud, Taylor-Report, and we are on Facebook / The Taylor Report. I have some news that I can pass on. Last week we spoke on this program to Tony Leah, who works at GM Oshawa. The struggle there is continuing, the attempt to save that plant. And the retired workers of Local 199, which is a GM local in St. Catharines, are calling on their leader, Jerry Dias, and also their hope and to get the attention also of the Canadian government. They would like to see the government take the plant and make it a Canadian project. We were owed GMO's money to haven't paid back yet from a generous loan from the federal government. So the federal government, the retired workers chapter of Local 199 are calling on them to get ready for the word, nationalize it, take it in the name of the community of Oshawa, the workers of that plant, modernize it, get us in tune with the coming trends in automobile production. Anyway, we absolutely agree with them. Something we should mention, too, is that there is a big strike going on. I don't know whether it's been settled, but the biggest General Motors strike at the moment that I'm aware of is in Mexico, which raises the question of the wisdom of the policy of talking about cars from General Motors in Mexico and whether one ought to buy them. Let us remember that an auto worker is an auto worker is an auto worker, to quote Gertrude Stein. And we should make sure that we understand that exploited in all the United States and in Canada, they produce profits that are, and wealth that is not returned to them. They just get a little piece of it, and they're the ones who bust their knuckles and hurt their backs and are left with a little pittance compared to the people who run the place. And we have to applaud the Mexican workers. And on this show, the Taylor Report, we're going to do a lot more to cover those auto workers in Mexico, because Mexico is a revolutionary tradition. It has a great tradition for labor rebellion. It has produced some of the most marvelous people in this hemisphere representing workers. Let me just say Zapata. Does that ring a bell? And Pancho Villa. And so we need to closer, warmer relationship with Mexico, not the kind that Friedland has, where she says Mexico but goes to embrace counter-revolutionaries in Venezuela and just thinks she can name a government and all that kind of stuff, and ignore her partner, business partner, Mexico. We're not in favor of that. What's the word, Phil, they have for people who are happy when there's somebody that they don't like suffers misery?
Schadenfreude. Yes. It's taking pleasure in the pain of people that you want to bring down a peg.
Okay, yeah. Robert Kraft, Super Bowl. Now I'm interested.
That's a Schadenfreude moment.
I'm going to confess, Phil, wipe that smirk off your face. You know, look, this guy is he's a Trumpist or ite. He's probably a Trumpite. And he mixes politics and money, and he has his favorite things. I remember when he got the Super Bowl a few years back, and he went to give it to show it off to the Prime Minister of Israel. And what I liked about the story was that he said that when they went in with the Super Bowl trophy, that they weren't sure what it was, the security, so they took it apart. But I guess how she could put the facts in front. We don't know what happened, but the Florida police say, and I love the name of the town, Jupiter, Florida. The Jupiter, Florida police say that he was one of several hundred men who are Johns in a case of we used to say house of prostitution, where now this is the most important part. The women in the who are being exploited there it's like enslavement, human trafficking.
They're victims of human traffickers. That is to say that they don't have control of their lives, and somebody is controlling them, and they may have immigration.
Here's what I would
say, irregularities. Yeah. Right?
They had no transportation. Yeah. They couldn't leave the place. They were living in the place. Yeah. And it had a wonderful kind of Shangri-La name on the front door. But at any rate, it is alleged that he was there and that it was on two occasions and that he was videotaped. When I heard that it was videotaped, I thought maybe Belichick had something to do with it. Because about 3 or 4 years ago, Mr. Belichick was accused by other teams of spying on them. So I thought, you don't suppose Belichick would harm the chief. It's just a joke. Anyway, they've already identified a couple other billionaires. Mike might find this odd. I mean, all of us. The women, it's unbelievable. This man is worth, I think, about $6 billion. The women were being paid for the services. I don't know what they were paid. $59 for a half hour and $79 for an hour. And you say, you're a billionaire and you're going to this.
Yeah.
And Oh, my goodness.
Well, when you got $1 billion, you want to be careful. Nobody takes
you don't
it,
want to waste
takes
your
it away
money.
From you.
You
That's
want to
right.
save as much as you can.
Yeah.
It's so now look, Mr. Kaepernick is not good enough for Mr. Kraft. Mr. Kraft is one of the people who kept Mr. Kaepernick from playing football, that is, earning a living at what he does best, which, by the way, is something Mr. Kraft cannot do. And Mr. Trump can't do it. And the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, they cannot do what Mr. Kaepernick can do. That's why he's worth a lot as a quarterback. But they said, no, we can't have him. He's not patriotic. He's not the right kind of guy. He respectfully kneels in memory of all the black lives that have been lost due to overt racism in every level of society, every single level department. And so Mr. Kraft thought, and he and the others said, no, no, can't have him. So, okay, Schadenfreude. We all learned a word today. I'd be ready. I said already I'd be prepared to make a deal. To bring Kaepernick back and we'll drop the charges against
it sounds like a fair exchange.
Mr. Crafty.
Yeah.
Crafty can go, give him a walk. But just, you know, we actually would like to see athletes who get to play sports that they're good at and without business getting involved. This is the Taylor Report. We apologize. We had a problem reading our wonderful Eva Bartlett. We do look forward to talking to her because she's done great work and we know she's got an important story. We will get back to that. We expect to be talking about Haiti, by the way, in the future. We promised Walter Riley. He's the father of Boots Riley. And I spoke to him today, actually. We think we will have him next week. But I hate to promise because we always run into these things.
No, we're not having anybody next
but
week. Here you go.
I can share a joke with you, Phil, that I learned and in my research on Mr. Kraft, who was dealing with apparently with women who were being held, were brought into the country illegally and were being and held against their will, forced into these sex business. A sports writer was talking about what's wrong with sports. And he said that gambling is one of the things that's wrong. And he said there is an old joke about these sports gamblers. It does ruin sports. But there's an old joke about the gambler who called his bookie and was kept betting on football, the NFL, NCAA. And he lost 20 times in a row. He lost his – and so even his bookie felt a little sorry for him. And he said, hey, maybe, you know, this football thing, maybe you should think about it. Maybe you should bet on hockey. And he says, hockey? What do I know about hockey?
this is a joke.
The Taylor Report. I think if I'm going to look for Mike's instruction. Mike made a motion that indicates that I'm in danger. So this is the Taylor Report, and you can write to us, the Taylor Report at CIT.fm, and we'll see you next week.